Music.
I would wonder how my music habits would go if we didn't have the podcast.
I like it because it's a good driver, and having other influences throwing stuff in forces me to listen to others. Like, I probably would never have tripped over that CZ Doom, that Starface and MF Doom album.
Yeah.
Dan points out that you're factually incorrect, and I'm factually correct in terms of my appreciation for that album. Just so we've got that on the record. I appreciate that hashtag fact check on his behalf. But I never would have tripped over that album necessarily of my own volition. So, I mean, that kind of stuff is really important. And it makes my life better and more fun. I mean, sometimes it's a slog to get through the album. Sometimes it's like, fuck, when am I going to get time to fucking peel off these three albums and also listen to all the... In fact, in a way, it's a little bit more of a... And this is entirely on me. I feel like it's more of a chore to make sure I'm up to date with all the sports podcasts so that I'm not saying something that somebody else is saying or that I'm, you know. But that's entirely in my head. Often the best episodes of the sports podcast is where I've literally not listened to anything. We just get up and have a fucking yarn.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is pretty much
right.
This week, because I'm a week behind on my sports podcast. So yeah. I haven't actually fucking done it.
Well, and I've just refused to listen. Like,
you were doing what like I did before the Euro final, which was – All my podcasts are from British media sources, like the Totally Football Show and Zonal Marking and all those sorts of things. And I'm like, I don't want to hear any fucking Englishman telling me about this cup final. They're all going to explain how the English have got a fucking massive talent advantage and all the rest of it. And then Italy went out and did Italy things and bossed the game statistically, analytically, and by the eye test. And probably should have won by more than they did. If they hadn't started fucking Chiro Immobile, they might have actually might put it away in 90 minutes. But now is the opportunity to go back and listen to those podcasts and go, big old shit sandwich for y'all.
Yeah, so I've listened to like a couple just because of like Giannis is just so likable and he was actually amazing. So, like when we lost game five, there was like 20 podcasts and I'm just like, delete. But the music stuff's... And like even the way it's making me go back and listen to, so okay, your album this week.
Are we officially talking about the podcast now? Do we have to build a segue? Because I don't imagine any of that's going on in the production meeting doesn't go in the podcast.
Well, that's a good place to start. So. Tiger Cub, right? I dropped into this album halfway through this week. Like, I must have been playing it and then, you know, gone off and done something and then got back in the car and it just started in the middle of this song. And I'm like, oh, man, the doc's going to get, like, absolutely fucking tear me to shreds for picking this album this week. And then I was like, hang on. I've been tricking you this week. This isn't my album.
I'm not responsible for this.
Because
the middle of this is it's got a soft center. It's like a fucking...
Yeah, it's really soft.
It's like a marshmallow jam. Well, it's really emo. It's really... And it kind of... You think about it in the context of the Nancy album the lead singer did earlier in the year, which was all very angsty and sad and, you know, I'm considering suicide kind of content. And this is kind of that, but occasionally for at least half the songs, with enormous, like really preposterously large riffs dropped on top. Like disproportionately large riffs for the content. It's an odd content. It's an odd map up. It works, but when it doesn't work, you get the middle songs.
What I sort of felt like was you guys need to go and listen to that Batshit Muse album and bring a little bit more of that energy. Like,
what you're saying, in the words of Friends of Rom, is cheer up, don't be such a knob. If it's so damn hard, get a fucking job.
Pretty much, I guess. Like, I don't know, it was a bit too serious for me.
Oh, God,
places.
It was serious. It was so grim and emo and feelings. And I'm 16 years old and my parents don't understand me and I can't borrow the car and that sort of good times. The thing is that in track one, It starts out with that very kind of meek and mawkish piano and soft voice, and you think, oh, fuck, what are we doing? And then it gets loud, and you think, okay.
Yeah.
All right, do more of that. I can put up with the whining if you just keep doing the loud bit.
Yeah, but there wasn't enough of the loud. The loud stuff was awesome. Like, they can really chunk a riff.
I had the same reaction to this as I had to the second Royal Blood album in the context of the first one, but this is much more down the path of you've gone to emo screamo, what happened to just being angry and jumping up and down? There's a couple of good tracks. Beauty's a good track. Sleepwalker's a good track. Stop Beating Off on My Heart, whatever it is. Be Still My Beating Off, which was another Friends of Rome song. But there's a real flat spot. I used to have a...
I used to have a
3-litre Magna V6. You could get the Magna in a 3-litre or a 3.5-litre, which they had subsequently, but I had the 3-litre. The problem with the 3-litre was it had a tilt curve with a real flat bit in the middle, about 2,000 to 3,000 RPM. It just, you had to kind of rev it to get it to do things. So this is basically the 3-litre V6 Mitsubishi Magna of emo rock.
So I probably should have talked to you before I picked this Troy Kingy. It's pretty folky.
Well, the thing is that when I listened to it, it's less folky than I was expecting. Yeah, I was expecting wall-to-wall folk. I was expecting Mumford. I was expecting Punishment. And there are some tracks on here that actually have some action.
Again, it's the inverse of Tiger Cub. It starts off really fucking folky. Sea of Death and Forgotten are just... Oh, I'm like, whoa, okay.
Well, the thing is, we should probably explain that the conceit behind this album is that it's a conceit. Is that a drinking word? I mean, imagine and aesthetic. You know, I don't think conceit is a... The conceit behind the aesthetic of this album is that it's a concept album. Every song is about life's journey. Like, there's birth, childhood, parenthood, retirement. And the last song is literally called Sea of Death, brackets, death. And you think... Well, this is either going to be really sad folk or it's going to be fucking death metal, fucking throw your fist in the air. And it's neither. It's kind of not that folky. And then it kind of peters out. And then a completely different song starts up. And that secret track might be my favorite track on the album. It doesn't fit with anything else he does. Mm-hmm. But it's just this little banger he's stuck at the back of the album that doesn't actually have anything to do with his overall narrative. But it's just a fucking kind of a soul rock banger.
The thing with Kingy is his voice is always good. The band, I don't know if it's the same band every time or whatever musicians he puts around him are always good. The craftsmanship is always good.
Yep.
And even when you don't necessarily like his stylistic choices, there's a certain part of me that always seems... Because I've gone back and listened to his back catalogue as well, and I don't think there's an album I like as much as last year's one. But you can really fucking appreciate.
Is that genre match though? Because it's in a space that you enjoy. I mean, he's done a blues album and that album was more
Mighty 70s Mighty Invader is like, as much as I like last year's album, Mighty Invader is the favorite Troy Kingy song in this house. Curtis struts around singing that all the time.
Yeah, well, that's good because that song's about how much of a cunt Captain Cook is.
Yeah, which I think. There will definitely be a point in his school career where someone does some stuff on Captain Cook and
he's like, and he'll I heard he was a complete fucking flute.
Curtis will lay down some Troy Kingy lyrics for them.
Yeah, is it really? He came over here, he's a fucking prick, and he got eaten. Fuck that cunt.
Because he's got a good memory for that sort of stuff, you know.
Oh, well, I mean... I mean, when was it ever exposed to us the idea that Captain Cook was not the fucking whitest and brightest and greatest of humans?
Yeah.
In our school careers. At no stage.
No.
This is something we've come to in our 40s.
Yes.
Basically.
And probably the school curriculum in Australia probably still teaches the same shit that
absolutely
we did.
Absolutely it does.
Yeah. So, big ups for Troy Kingy. So, this album was okay... but the good thing is, next year we're going to get a different style. So
he's going to do something else. Yeah. Well, points for the ambition of the concept. Yeah. Points for landing it largely. I mean, if you're going to do the full life's journey, there should have been a song called Midlife Crisis, and it probably should have been a folky acoustic cover of Faith No More.
I've got some mates that really like folk, that like that, you know, classic American rock folk sort of era. So I've sent it to them. I'll be really interested to see how they approach it, you know, whether that's not enough of that Americana for them or...
Not enough Cletus.
Yeah, not enough Cletus. All right. Techie, techie.
So before this, my only previous entirely Japanese language album I listened to was from Guitar Wolf, legendary Japanese garage punk band. This is not Guitar Wolf. This is a lot of things. But what it most definitely is a Joker album. This absolutely fits the remit of an album that you would not listen to if it wasn't a Joker album. What the fuck was this?
So, Bourdain did this Tokyo episode, right? And like...
Yeah.
But
so Bourdain's a cooking guy.
Yeah, he's a cooking guy. Breaking news. Cooking slash travel.
Slash heroin.
Yeah, he did this... And, like, his thing is going in and sort of understanding other cultures, and he does it really well. But he does this...
And Japanese fusion cooking is really good. But Japanese fusion music?
Well, so he did this Tokyo episode, right? And I expected... That's what I expected to get is, like, you know, this amazing sort of Japanese cooking and going to all these cooking places. And instead it was all the fucking batshit crazy parts of Tokyo, like the panty sniffing and the robot wars and like all this fucking weird out there shit that that Japan sort of produces. And it just, that episode was exactly like listening to this album because this was just fucking all over the shop. It was weird,
incoherent. There was spaghetti western music in there at some point.
Everything. It was everything. But it was
Japanese flutes. Loved
it. I had so much fun listening to it. It was like a Japanese pattern side project.
There aren't enough drugs in the world to make this album make sense. But it's exactly what the Joker album's for.
Yes, this is like your absolute shining light on the hill of an idea of a Joker album. Yes. But because it was a Joker album, like if this had been a normal album, I would have gone, oh fuck, I've wasted a pick on this batshit fucking crazy album that's never going to make
it
out top 5.
Which is nonsense because it's just an extra pick. It's just an extra new album pick that you get to make.
Yeah.
There's been plenty of times where we've gone, actually, the Joker album was better. That's our album of the week. But this was never going to be anything other than, oh, Christ on a bike.
Oh, I think I actually enjoyed this the most out of the three albums for the week.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah.
I didn't particularly enjoy this at all.
Oh, yeah, no, I really enjoyed it.
It wasn't that I didn't enjoy it. It was just that I just couldn't. It's a bit like when you wander through an art gallery and you just see some stuff and go...
Oh, yeah. Art.
Well, that's a thing. I mean, they had an idea and I'm glad they got it out there, but... I reckon what I interpret that to be and what they planned were two different fucking things. But yeah, it's hot outside and it's air conditioned in here, so I'll just keep wandering around.
Dear.
They seem to be having fun anyway. They're a seven-piece, so one of those problems, like, I don't know how they go splitting the rider when they've got that many players.
Was it the first song that was the flute one? The flute one I put on the
boys' album.
They were
all the
flute ones. All right, what have you got that is new this week?
I've got the new album from Kanye West. No, I fucking don't. Donda.
Come on.
Jesus. I don't think it's even streaming yet, but he's been holding fucking listening parties with, you know, $65 nibbles. All the fucking white dudes banging on about how great the Kanye album is. I fucking see you. He's a fucking cunt, Kanye. Oh mate, Pastor Red Hat. You know, fucking no. You don't, you know, if we're dragging Eric Clapton for being a fucking racist anti-vaxxing fuck, we can drag Kanye West, you know, mental health illness or no, because he's a grown adult and he can put his name to the shit that he said in public.
Yeah. Yeah, we do not need to talk about that album.
And we will continue to spell Kanye incorrectly on the internet because it's a funny troll. Kane. What am I going to pick this week? We need some shots at Kanye because fucking hell. There's nothing worse than white Kanye fans. Oh, this is so profound. Fuck off.
Oh, my fuck off.
Fuck off.
So, actually, there was something interesting that I thought about, which is
please don't do
a
that.
Whole heap of people were like, oh, the Kanye, I don't know, it was his first or second album.
I also love that you pronounce it Kanye. It's like, it's a con, man. It's just a con.
Tour was the best live album, the best live music I've ever seen. I'm like, dude, you have not seen enough live music.
No.
If that I've is also the best-
seen a man talking in front of a tape deck.
If that is the best live show you've ever seen, for a start, it would have been in a fuck-off massive stadium, which is the worst place to watch fucking live music. And I'm gonna circle back to that, actually. But
when you pick Kanye's album.
But it's just... anyway. Yes. And what do you have that's new? But stop me from ranting.
I'm paralyzed by choice.
Yeah,
John Launch, you go.
I got something interesting. I'm going with a...
I doubt that. I'll be the judge of that.
I've got South London, psychedelic soul... female vocalist called Green Tea Peng, and her album is called Man Made.
Right?
Well, a lot of the shit I looked at was like indie rock, and fuck.
Green Tea Peng.
I just wanted something that was a little bit different, which is his.
Well, certainly written by herself. My debut album, Man Made, is out now. Green Tea Peng, 26-year-old psychedelic soul songstress. Born in Bermondsey, southeast London, spending her early teenage years in Hastings. This sounds more like a fucking police report. Influenced by all the places and experiences she held most dear. Why did this become third person? Both Dark and Light. Did Michael Clarke write this? Both Dark and Light. Michael Clarke's very impressed with the way Michael Clarke's been hitting the ball recently. With Dark and Light, half soul searcher and half wisecracking, Green Tea Peng. Now, what? We are third person. Green Tea Peng takes you on a thought-provoking journey with honest lyricism and broken flows. I thought you didn't like broken flows. You got very upset last week when somebody dared to be like a quarter of a beat behind schedule. Even though he was dying at the time, you psychopath.
Maybe her mum wrote this.
Honest lyricism breakthrough, sunshine rhythms and heavy sounds. All right. And she has 1.159721 monthly listeners. Million.
Million. I was going to go 1.1. Wow.
She has 1.15 listeners.
We're really going to boost her stats.
Somebody got a tenth of the way through the song and said, not for fucking me, thanks. Right. So she exists. And she's on tour in August playing Nottingham, London, Cambridge, Huntington, and other places that we are not anywhere near and never will be because the borders will never open ever again. Her album was an hour long.
Really? There was another one that I looked at this week that had 26 tracks, and I was like, no.
I mean, Iron Maiden have an album coming out pretty soon, and their album is like 80 minutes long, and I thought I don't need 80 minutes of way 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 post peak Iron Maiden. And I've heard one track from it, and Bruce Dickinson just sounds awful. And it's weird because pilots often have really nice voices because they do the voiceover like, you know, this is your captain speaking. We are now flying at 32,000 feet. And if you look over to your left, you can see Dubbo. We'll be starting the beverage service very shortly. His voice is totally fucked, and he used to be able to give it, can I play with madness? But now he sounds, like, worse than me, and I sound awful. So maybe he needs to do more of the pilot vocal exercises so he doesn't sound as fucking terrible as he does these days.
Anyway, have you got something new?
Yeah, let's go for Red Fang's new album.
Oh, okay.
Red Fang are in that kind of orbit of... I've been picking a bit of this recently, but in that kind of big, chunky riffs. They're not of the same generation as Caius and Fu Manchu and the desert stoner rock types, but their sound isn't a terrible distance away. I think they're from Austin, so they're not strictly that kind of desert California sound. But they have an album, and I'm picking it on this podcast.
Well, I was going to ask for a favor to pick the Joker this week. Because
you want me to pick one for you because you're bad at it.
No.
You're more than happy to do that.
No, I actually have one that is time limited.
Act now.
Yeah, like the literally the band is, oh my God, I've just seen the album cover of the Veronica's album this year. What is that, going on there?
They do a lot of stuff that sisters don't normally do, except on parts of the internet where they're pretending not to be sisters or the...
Yeah, okay.
American-themed
I've been distracted. No, there's an album out by a band that we have reviewed before, but it's only out for 90 days, and then they're pulling it off all the streaming services and places you can buy it. I don't know for how long. I don't know why.
Well, that certainly encourages you to believe that it's a quality product.
So, yeah, like, we can wait until I've won the week to pick it, but I just was like, okay, well, that's interesting. And it's definitely a pick that we would pick for the Joker, this band. But
go on, then.
All right. It's the new Sault album.
As in Sault.
S-A-U-L-T.
Oh, that French prick.
No, weren't they? They're like an English collective, aren't they, that you don't know who they are?
I'm confusing them with the French psychedelic album.
No, they were that English collective that you didn't know who was in it. Or...
And we assumed it's actually two white producers making black people music.
Possibly. Sims does guest on a track on this album, but...
Oh, there we go. Can't be bothered finishing your own fucking album. Just happy to turn up on other people's.
But, yes, I would not be surprised if it's two white guys sitting in a basement that is the...
Well, it's production. That's what you get.
But I had a bit of a look around, and I couldn't really track down a reason why in this day and age you only have a album out for 90 days. But anyway, it's like...
What's interesting is that in their album listing, I think there's now quite a lot more... Quite a few more albums than there were, because now there's a 5 and a 7, as well as the two albums they released last year, which was Untitled Rise and Untitled Black Is.
Mm.
So now there is 9.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going sequentially or what, and I really don't care enough to fucking look into it, because
that's right.
Nothing worse than a fucking self-mythologizing artists who are too busy trying to be, you know, secretive and mystical and all that sort of stuff. And the reality is nobody fucking cares. TISM got this right. They're like, the reason we wear balaclavas is that we're a bunch of boring cunts. No yep. one should give a fuck about who we are. It should be about what we make.
Yep. Yeah. Though, imagine being taught by TISM. Imagine rocking up to your high school and going, you're my fucking teacher. Okay.
I think they were pretty good at covering it up, but, you know, Damien Cowell subsequently had a song called I Was the Guy from TISM. So I don't think they were really covering it up that much.
Oh, dear. All right. Any other music news, Mr. Kingswell?
Fuck you. Fuck you. This is the end of this podcast. Fuck you.
I wondered how long that's a little payback for.
Did you see that fucking
music,
that
music?
Oh, look, that's the highlight of your life.
It's been stuck in my head all day.
It's amazing what
it's
you can
really
do.
Catchy.
Imagine what it's you really can catchy. The amen break. Of course, it's catchy. Like, it's like, yeah, that's the shit, man. It's the reason it launched a million fucking songs. I was cooking lunch at work today, and like that. Did you at least go back and listen to the source material, which is the episode I did with Adam? He came up
yeah,
with
yeah,
the
that's,
idea.
That's what
like,
I'm saying.
What you should really do is just sample Bezo saying that. And I said, we did it. It was just music.
But no, I went back and listened to that episode, and you had that song that Adam's talking about playing underneath while Adam's like, this guy is a fucking genius. He's the most fucking impactful music. And I'm like,
yes.
I'm like literally scratching my head going, I can't marry this up to the music that I'm hearing underneath it. Okay.
The production staff may have made some choices in there.
You might have been playing for that dichotomy.
Well, here's the thing. No, under most of it, it was the song that he wanted. It was the song that he picked. He said, this song is over and above better than everything else on the album. I didn't see that at all. I thought it was.
I've never felt more like Charles Barkley talking to an analytics nerd.
But like, the thing is that there's so, if you listen to it, like there was an excerpt of one of the tracks, which was just a whole lot of fucking jizz, a whole lot of run together, weird vocalized shit and noises and bang, binging and bonging and pushing a fucking, you know, a washing machine full of bolts down the stairs sort of stuff, as we said in the title of the episode. And I was like, this is absolute masturbation. This is nothing musical about this at all. It's just a guy with too much time on his hands and too many hands on something else. But electronic music is to these people, this guy is their god.
Well,
like I said, why don't you take your hands off it, you fucking Punisher?
So every week, right, I look for a good electronic album. And
that wasn't it.
That wasn't it. But the interesting thing is, right, that Rufus Du Sol, they've got
Not them again.
No, they've got a new single out, right? Because there's one song that I really like of theirs where I reckon they just nail all the bits. Like, you know, they pull at that emotional sort of synth music. And even Curtis picked up on it.
It's such a cloud of chloroform, though.
Absolutely. And, like, the problem with Rufus Du Sol is 95% of their stuff is really fucking milquetoast. It's really sort of bland.
And not in a good way. Not in the helmet way.
No, but every now and again, they find a little bit of a melody or something that just makes a song elevate a little bit more, and you can really understand how people get into them. And their new song is quite in that vein. And I was playing it in the car just because it popped up on my, you know, Spotify's got that thing where they pop the whatever the latest single is up on the right on your front page. And Curtis was bang onto it. He's like, oh, this is really good synths. I really like this synth. I really like this, you know, the synth line. And I just thought, oh, that's really interesting that he's picked out what actually makes this song work compared to some of the other less successful electronic artists in that sort of vein. Because
they forget to plug their synths in. Even fucking Van Halen remembered to plug their synths in.
Yeah.
And they weren't even a synth band.
There's definitely a lack of compelling electronic music out there.
Or that Americans... Or the problem is that all the good British electronic bands are washed and all the good American ones are American and they sound like shit. And then you get people like Proc Fiscal or something like that that are also making fairly tedious elevator music, which is how I feel about the Rufus Del Sol stuff. It's just accompaniment that doesn't actually sit, you know, it doesn't grab you in the way that the electronic music of our childhood, the fucking Prodigies and the Chemical Brothers and the Groove Armadas and the fucking Basement Jaxes and all those sorts of acts that made fucking bangers. I haven't heard a banger in a long time.
I do wonder whether it's the club scene and the drug scene though.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
That's influencing it, like different types of clubs, like Rufus Du Sol and all of those guys are played on, you know, sort of rooftop pool bars at
Vegas. That's how they got their name. Rufus Du Sol. Rufus Du Sol. They just turned up to build like a glass roof over the pool. It was like Rufus Du Sol because that lets the sun through.
Yeah. I don't know. That
was a pretentious Spanish name. In reality, they're just called, you know, Sunlight Rufus Incorporated.
You know, Groove Armada and the Chemical Brothers came up through grimy fucking clubs in Bristol.
Boiler rooms and shit.
Yeah.
Bring that shit back. Speaking of boiler rooms and things like that, did you see that Splendor are doing an online version of their festival? And they've got this VR technology and they've got all this fantastic stuff. And you can buy a ticket anywhere in the world. You put your VR set on and you can be part of it. The one thing they haven't fixed is fucking timetable clashes. Sims is on at the same time as fucking somebody else. Phoebe Bridges, I think, Gumboy, was complaining about this.
So how much have you got to pay for a ticket?
I've got no idea because I looked at the lineup and went, there's absolutely nobody who absolutely would pay money to see when I could just watch a live clip of them on fucking YouTube.
YouTube, yeah.
Because I'm not going to steal my fucking Oculus fucking kit and try and ponce about in the lounge room throwing shapes to some old man band. Speaking of old man bands, shout happy birthday to our favourite bio writer, Andrew Stockdale, who, of course, wished himself happy birthday on the internet because he's Andrew Stockdale. Shouts to you. Hashtag you're welcome, spelled incorrectly.
Oh, on that note, we got to finish the podcast there. He's like our spirit animal.
He is. He's older than us and he's more washed than us. There was something else, but fuck, who cares at this stage? Oh, no, that's what it was. Quickly, mixtape stuff. What did you like off the Kingy album? What do you want on the mixtape? I actually think Hunt Down Happiness is probably the best standalone song, which is The Meaning. It's in the middle. It's as close to the midlife crisis as you're going to get, but you might like something. That's probably the least folky.
Yes. Yes, I would agree with that.
Done. I will take Beauty off the Tokyo Cub album. And what did you want off the Japanese fusion?
I think Yuri Ni.
Yuri Ni.
Yep.
So it's a bloke called Yuri's Knee. Yuri Gagarin, potentially. And for the boys' playlist, pick something less worse than this. Sounds like you found something. You're going to punish them with a bit of Japanese fusion.
I did, actually. I did punish them.
Punish.
But, you know, first couple of weeks back at school, I need to be punished.
Yeah. not under the current regime. Well, you guys aren't in lockdown, but I'm sure that'll be something that comes about. Anyway, I've totally ruined our lovely organic finish. That was Dripping Balls, a music podcast that appears in your podcast feed when it fucking well likes. We don't know when it happens. It just happens. We'll probably be back next week because neither of us are going to be on a beach anywhere else. So we'll clear our schedules and we'll see if we can be back to you next week and talk about these albums.
That or you'll get 40 minutes of cricket noises.
What? Sort of blokes coming in off the long run. People marking their guard.
Look, people are probably
third man readjusting his crotch.
People will probably download that, you realise.
It's probably white noise for people to sleep to. Actually, we might have just invented the one economically useful idea that is going to be much more productive than this podcast. White noise for sleeping, but it's a cricket game. It's just a boring fucking first-class game with nothing happening, no grand announcements, just a couple of seagulls. In the background,
Flintoff's a wanker.
Well, not even that. You just that kind of echoey Sheffield Shield applause you get when they've got like one camera and the mic is on the camera. And you see the shot and then there's like a pause and then you actually hit the ball. Yes.
One old guy. One old guy.
Far away, kind of echoey applause.
Oh, dear.
Welcome back to Sound Aesthetics Weekly. Let's get this out of here.
See you, Doc.
Bye-bye.
That was like the audio. That was the podcast version of that Techie Techie album, all over the fucking shop. All right, I'm gonna upload this.